As an elementary school teacher for over 30 years, Catherine Francis writes of her approach. She says, Shakespeare likens the world to a stage upon which men and women are players. I would have the world, that is nature, the children, and I co-responding as friendly, joyful, and curious playmates. And that's the spirit in which Francis and her class set out for the beach and a litter pick-up day. On that day, dressed in their obligatory fluorescent vests and wellies, the children set off excitedly to the beach. Once at the beach, we gathered together and met the ranger. She handed out the thick, uncomfortable gloves, bin bags, and mechanical litter pickers. She and I outlined the morning's activity. The task was to find litter and collect it into large black plastic bags. Before placing it in the bags, the children were asked to classify and record the litter on a prepared tally sheet attached to clipboards they were carrying. The children walked up and down the beach, intent upon their task. There were occasional shouts when something remarkable was found, a shoe, for example. But generally, I thought the group was quite quiet. There was little discussion within or between the teams of three, other than occasionally admiring comments from one team to another on a big find, such as a traffic cone. The children were able to classify most things fairly easily, and although some items were too large or heavy to be placed in the bags, the children were nonetheless determined to remove them from the beach. We made a collection of these oversized objects separately beside the ranger's van. Typically, I would dispose of the litter with the goodwill and assistance of the school janitor later that day. Out of sight and out of mind, the rubbish would be dealt with. But it was not. It still existed. It was not gone. It was at school with us. I took the bags into school and looked over the tally sheets. I realized that uploading the collected data to the internet and disposing of the rubbish into the school's bins did not reflect the ongoing nature or depth of the issue of litter in our marine environment. In a change of plan to the follow-up lesson, I delayed the disposal of the litter and asked the children to look again. Once back in school, I decided I wanted the children to look more closely at the litter, or more precisely, I wanted to shift their regard for the litter. With our collected finds emptied out of the black bin liners and spread over two long tables, I briefly told the children about mandalas and showed them a few pictures from the BBC's religion website on the interactive whiteboard. At this point, I made a conscious decision to encourage the children to physically handle the litter with bare hands in order to evaluate it. I wanted to give litter the chance to touch the children as they touched it, to enrich the physical contact zone. Without gloves, the sensorial experience of touch is deepened beyond understanding the size or weight of an object. Were the surfaces smooth or rough? Are they sticky? I suggest sight alone is a poor means by which to decipher a texture. I understood then that I needed to afford children time and space to engage with the litter using all their senses, except perhaps taste. As time passed, the children held the litter more in the palms of their hands, and they looked closely at the pieces, some bringing them close up to their faces. They spoke about the texture and the luster. They discussed where the objects should be placed in the mandala. They placed the pieces with care and with intention. Some pieces were placed and then replaced, perhaps turned slightly or relocated to make sense with other pieces already there. Most of the placements they discussed with each other. There was much animated chatter and exclamation throughout. There were many utterances of disgust, but then also many of surprise and wonder. "I wonder how that got there," was heard several times. Parts of shoes were of particular interest, and they prompted the question, why would anyone want to throw this away? I observed the children working enthusiastically for over an hour, and then I was able to examine their feelings about the litter and the activity in their own words afterwards in a whole class group discussion. We gathered around the completed work of art and talked at length about the sorts of litter we had used. The children explained their placing of various pieces and pointed out great detail of color and shape due to the rusting or degradation of some pieces. The children took time to read to each other the small writing found on some pieces of plastic. They recognized the beer cans from the local supermarket and wondered why some of the pieces had actually been thrown away or lost. It just felt like the children were into the origin of the litter and contemplating the place it currently held in relation to themselves. They contemplated the previous relationship the litter had held with others. It was exactly what I wanted them to learn. That from Catherine Francis from the collection Why Science and Art Creativities Matter. Restart Scranton is a program in March and April to encourage community members to retrieve litter from the streets and byways and create art from found objects, with workshops to prepare and an exhibition at the Artists for Art Gallery in downtown Scranton of the one-of-a-kind results. Janine Luby and AFA Director Teresa O'Connor paid a visit to the WVIA studios to fill us in. Janine.
I'm a proud Scrantonian, and part of being proud or having pride in your community, I believe, is helping to help keep it clean. So I'm some of those people that when I'm out and about and I see litter, I will pick it up. And I, you know, I was doing that, and then I read about this Swedish term called plogging. And it's this concept where I think jogging, but it could be walking or running. If you're out in your community, you see some trash, you pick it up. It's a good thing to do. So I was doing that. And I also, of course, had seen and heard about sustainable art, which sustainability covers so many different things. But I was finding what I'll call cool litter. And by cool litter, I mean like, you know, a Ford symbol off of a hubcap, a bobber from someone who was fishing, children's small toys like finger puppets, different things that I'm like, wow, these are colorful, cool. They're going to end up in the landfill. Wouldn't it be neat if they had a next life or next, you know, restart? And Teresa is someone that I know from the community who's an artist. She's great. She's out there, community advocate, brought the idea to her. What if we were to do a litter pickup and then really focus on the art that we can create from that? And after that, after her, of course, excitedly agreeing to join with this project, which I'm so grateful for, I submitted for a Lackawanna County Arts and Culture Grant, and that is now going to help fund getting other artists involved and giving them what they deserve, which is pay for creating art, which is what we all should be getting for what we do.
Teresa, how did you react when Janine brought the idea to you?
I hadn't actually heard about plogging specifically, but I've always been interested in sustainable and repurposed art, not only in my own practice, but in 2009 when I ran the Vintage Theater, we used to have a yearly upcycled art show as well. So as soon as Janine came to me, I knew it's something I wanted to help come to fruition.
People might be familiar with the notion of assemblage, where you find things at a thrift store, but this is really off the streets, right?
Yes, and like I mentioned, and obviously Teresa could cover this even more, sustainable art covers so much, you know, pine cones, so many different things. But we're focusing with the Restart project to really focus on what you find from litter pickups. Again, it could be very vast, but for this particular project, the idea to get people to encourage them, organizations already do it to some capacity, encourage more people to even do it on their own. And for those organizations who are doing it, hey, if you find cool stuff, save it, and then either attend the workshop that we're having in March that Teresa will lead, or do something on your own, especially with young students, and create something and then share it.
Have you worked in this way before?
Yeah, I explore a lot of mixed media work, and I use found objects, whether they're specifically in the work themselves or they're used as almost like a tool. So different found objects could make different patterns and different mark making, but then also I've included found objects in collage and assemblage, as you were speaking about, in lots of different ways.
in your travels, Janine? It sounds like you may have collected a wonderful array of things. Have you worked with them?
So I actually, this is not quite the same, but I've worked with wine corks because I might happen to drink a little bit of wine. So I actually started creating my version of sustainable art with like cork earrings. I'm wearing a pair now, these little planter things that you paint, and just having fun with cork. So that's where I started with the vision of what you can do with things. But the stuff that I have found, I've only begun to work with it. In fact, the other night I created a little cork person, and she has little hair, and her little beret is something I found, like a little plastic circle that looks like a little hat. So I don't know if there's a market for it. I said I feel like Seinfeld with his pasta people, a few silly Jerry, but I'm having fun. And in these times, to have a fun outlet and then share it, why not? We need more joy in the world.
Can you think of anybody in the visual arts tradition who might have worked in this way?
Well, this might be kind of an ooh factor. So I wrote this kind of macabre, horror mystery with some humor, and I came across an artist. I guess you could call this sustainable. He was Austrian. I want to say Nietzsche, and he used actual blood in his work. So that's a little bit bizarre, but I mean, I'm not super familiar with sustainable artists. I mean, I love Van Gogh, but I don't know how sustainable his stuff was. But that particular artist, I don't think we'd want to encourage that, but it's kind of sustainable.
Maybe we just want to read about it. So you're going to invite us to come together with you, Teresa, and give us some hints on how we might proceed. And then we're invited to take part in the show if we come up with anything that looks like it stands on its own or can hang on the wall. And you're also reaching out. So what about the two parts?
Yeah, so we have about 10 invited artists that will take part in the pickup with us. And then they'll be at the workshops working together to create pieces. We also have a call to artists that anyone in the area that wants to submit work is welcome to do a pickup on their own, to find things in their own neighborhood. The goal really is to educate, have people thinking about where the things are going that they're seeing in their neighborhood, where the litter's going and what happens to it, and then just try to think about a different use for it. So the open call will be for anyone to drop off their artwork and for people to take a look and even purchase it.
When you talked about being out there, Janine, and what you noticed, you talked about that little circle that looked like it could be a hat. It does help us just to educate our eye and the imagination of what we see. It's not just a bottle cap or something like that, right?
Yes. I think now I'm coming from a comedic background, stand-up comedy, comedy improv, I'm a creative person, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I feel like the more we tap into creativity, and sometimes people don't even realize how creative they can be, these skills are serving them in other ways. I mean, let's face it, if you can see a little circle and then it becomes a hat, imagine how you can problem solve and think of solutions as opposed to just thinking in certain ways, like in a linear way, or we've done this, so let's keep going forward, where you're almost in a tunnel vision.
Teresa, who are the 10 artists you've invited to take part in the project?
Yeah, we have Monica Simon, Sam Quatuara, Sam Barace, Amanda Parsons, Marissa Messina, Jesse Clemente, and Eugene Lucas. That will be the specific artists that will actually be getting a grant from the county to submit their work.
There is a certain mindset. People sometimes say, what difference can one person make? What difference can I make? This sounds like a project where when everyone comes together and thinks creatively and works creatively, something larger than the sum of those individuals will result.
Absolutely. Yeah. In fact, I'm thrilled that I would encourage people to go to Facebook. It's called Restart Scranton. It's a Facebook group, but not only will they get information about the upcoming workshops, and like one is particularly for kids, family friendly, but learning all about, we're sharing inspiration of ways that they can do it. Like I created a wreath out of denim that was left over. Now that's not found, but instead of throwing it away or something like that. So we want to inspire, but I know Teresa and I were talking in the car on the way here, and we feel we're proud already with what we've accomplished, because to get people to just stop from their typical thinking, their typical day, and to think maybe they will pick up garbage the next time they see it. They don't have to become an artist, but just to pick up the garbage or to think differently, like, oh, that's cool. Maybe I'll come to the workshop so I can learn something. And honestly, I think that's a huge thing to even make that kind of impact these days is helpful.
And Teresa, it's a wonderful thing that the AFA Gallery, the Artists for Art Gallery, is doing this, because you do want to make the gallery a community place, a community space, and want to contribute to the community in that way. It's not like a museum. You do show art, and you will be showing art as a result of this project, but you're always trying to be engaged with the community.
Yeah, that's exactly my philosophy since I've been the director there, is reaching out more and more to the community, making sure we have a really large demographic, all ages, every walk of life can come into the gallery and feel comfortable and welcomed. And I think this is a great mission to get everyone of all age groups involved. And just to share a quick little note about my six-year-old niece, you know, these projects are so inspiring, and you look at the next generation and you get that hope where she's 6 years old and I took her to Target. I'm always trying to get her something, you know, because I'm the aunt and I spoil her a little bit. And she's like, you know, Auntie, I don't need anything right now, because she's thinking about where her toys are going to go when she's done using them. And that's what this project's all about, just to make us think a little bit more, but in a way that we're having fun and creating something new, but without using more materials.
And so the title, if we see it in print, it's R-E capital S-T-A-R-T. So it's got art in it, mm-hmm. and it's got the sense of recycle, right?
Right.
Is that how it came about?
That was what it was meant to be. I mean, again, I'm no graphic designer, but, you know, it was pretty simple. I like the circle around it because it's like circular. And then the whole idea of art being featured, but the A being the symbol for recycling, you know, to get us to think about how we can reuse things.
You're the curator for the show, Teresa. How do you think it's going to play out within the gallery?
Yeah, it'll be really interesting. I'm excited to think that there's going to be a lot of submissions. Our 10 artists will be the featured artists and kind of have a little bit of a special space for their work. And then I'm just imagining artwork on pedestals from the ground to the ceiling. And we want to show as much as we can. I think it's going to be dynamic and fun.
While we're talking about the show, what are the dates?
The show will open on March 28th. It's a Friday, and we have reception from 5 to 8 p.m., and it'll go through April until April 26th.
And recount the details or dates and times of the workshops.
March 12th will be from 6 to 8. That is more specified.
Because there's some materials that maybe might be considered dangerous for kids, especially the 22nd, March 22nd, which is noon to 2 p.m. is a Saturday. We really want that to be more about families and for them to work together. And there'll be crafts that are more appropriate for younger kids. Children of any age, of course, but something that, like, they're going to handle materials that won't be dangerous or sharp. Because there are some pieces we found that are metal. Of course, we're not going to be dealing with glass or anything, but we want you to be extra careful. So the 12th would be more, we would like that to be more for mature age, above 18 maybe, let's say.
Where is the AFA Gallery if we haven't been there yet?
The AFA Gallery, in its new location since 2020, is at 101 Penn Avenue in Scranton.
And just one more thing to mention, too, that will be part of the whole exhibit. First Friday in downtown Scranton, the first Friday of April, we're also going to be doing part of this whole exhibit, an installation, which will be kind of like a nest of recycled materials. And we're going to have upcycled, or I should say reusable paper, like bags, anything for people to write a message to the earth and put it in the nest. So it's going to be kind of like giving this project a little more legs. And then maybe on Earth Day, we're hoping to maybe read what people have submitted so that it's a whole community collective. Even if you don't think of yourself as an artist, you can still take part and share what you enjoy about the earth and the environment.
Janine Luby, founder of Laugh to Live, who established the Humor Therapy Fund at the Scranton Area Community Foundation, speaking with AFA Director Teresa O'Connor here at the WVIA Benko Studio about Restart Scranton that will take place in March and April. And we heard a number of specific events. March 12th, it's the Sustainable Art Workshop for those 18 and over, and that gets underway at 6 in the evening, all this at the Artists for Art Gallery. On the 22nd, it's the family-friendly sustainable art workshop, and that's noon to 2. On the 28th of March, it's the opening reception of the Restart exhibition, 5 to 8. And then on first Friday in April, April 4th, it is the chance to write a message to the earth, and that goes from 5 to 8, all at the Artists for Art Gallery, 101 Penn Avenue in downtown Scranton. You can find all that you need on Facebook by checking Restart Scranton, R-E-S-T-A-R-T, Scranton, or go to the website for the AFA Gallery, and that's artistsforart.org, artistsforart.org. Restart Scranton, made possible with support from the Lackawanna County Arts and Culture Department and Scranton's Recycling and Safety Coordinator. Restart Scranton. Workshops on March 12th for grown-ups and the 22nd for families. And the exhibit itself will open on March 28th and run through April 26th with a special occasion on First Friday, April 4th, a chance to write a message to the earth. Again, for more information, artistsforart.org.